In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. What a great church we have. Today's epistle and gospel readings form such a beautiful combination. I'd like to share that with you today. In the gospel reading, we encounter three particular individuals: two blind men and a demoniac who's unable to speak. So these two blind men, as Jesus is passing by, cry out after him continuously, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." He ignores them for a while, and finally, after confirming their faith, Jesus heals them. And the demoniac is unable to speak, for this is what demons do. They prevent us from raising our voices in worship and thanksgiving to God. But again, once Jesus cast out the demon from this man, his tongue was loose and he was able to speak and glorify God. And in the epistle this morning, we hear St. Paul's strong encouragement, maybe even a command, that we ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. That our focus and our love need to be outward directed, not inwardly directed. And when our focus is outwardly directed, it is not in judgment or correction. You should be doing that. That's not very orthodox. But of love, encouragement, lifting them up, edifying them. That we are to serve one another and bear with one another. Brothers and sisters, our faith, our salvation, is not a zero-sum game. It's not a situation where one has to lose for another to succeed. In fact, quite the opposite. In order for us to be saved, we have to include the other. Our salvation is in and through our love and service of our neighbors. We are collectively the body of Christ and individually members of it. Do you want to be saved? Be selfless. Love your neighbor, and in doing so, draw near to Jesus Christ himself. So when asked what the greatest commandments are, Jesus explains, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then he says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now the reason that he says the second one is like the first, that loving your neighbor is like loving God, is because they are the same. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. And by loving your neighbor, you love God. To belabor this point just a little bit more, forgive me. In John's first universal epistle, this is one of my favorite ones. They're all my favorites. But this is my favorite one today. "Dear friends," he says, "since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen.
You ready to go back? Okay.
We know this, right? If you want to love God, love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, you love God. We know this. It's not the first time we're hearing this. But it's so difficult to live it. So difficult. Because when we look at other people, we say, but their failings are so glaring. And they do it over and over again. How many times am I supposed to endure that? Seventy times 7. More than you can imagine, is Christ's answer. And we say, but I'm struggling too. What about me? These are my go-to things. I don't know if it strikes a chord with you. Brothers and sisters, let God attend to your needs. There's nothing, not a single thing, not a single good thing, let me rephrase that. There's not a single good thing that you can do for yourself apart from God. Not a thing. But if you step out of the way and trust Him, God will do things for you that you never even dreamed of. Probably because you didn't want it in the first place. Christ asked the blind men, do you believe that I am able to do this, that I am able to heal you? Do you believe? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And they were healed. Now, after Christ healed the demoniac, the people who witnessed these things said, never was anything like this seen in Israel. Now, this is a bold statement because God has done a lot for his people throughout the years. They're saying that the works of God in the law and the prophets are not on par with these things that they witnessed. Not even Moses with the plagues, walking in safety through the Red Sea, the manna coming from heaven, or water springing from the rocks of the desert. Measure up. They're saying that not even Elijah calling fire from heaven that consumed the waterlogged altar and its sacrifice. That doesn't even measure up. They're saying none of that came before is as great as what Jesus Christ has done this day. They saw God give wholeness of life to those where it was only there in part. And they marveled. And so when we say, I'm struggling, what about me? Let God take care of you. God can handle anything, heal all wounds, and make strong all of our weaknesses, any fears, any difficulties we face, any sin we fall into. He is bigger and beyond all of these things. And he is able to restore us to health and fullness of life, as he did to the blind men and this demoniac. One of the lines in the epistle this morning is that whatever was written in the former days was written also for us. And the beauty of this is they're saying it in the New Testament time, speaking of the Old Testament. But these New Testament things are written for us as well. We can do nothing on our own, but with humility, I can admit that I am the first among sinners and ask God for his love and mercy. And then show that same love and mercy that I require to those around me. There's an illustration that I love to give about this whole situation. Forgive me if I've given it before. I was a teacher in middle school, and I would receive questions, actually a question, from my middle school students and parents. And it was always the same question. What do I have to do to get the A or the B, maybe even the C? And really what they're asking is, what is the minimum that I have to do just to be just over the line? But this is the wrong question. The point of education is not a grade. The point of education is to learn, to gain knowledge, critical thinking skills, and all the rest. And if my students had only focused on learning, on engaging in the lessons that they were given, they would have received both the knowledge and the grade that they desired. But because they focused only on the grade, only on the result, they failed to gain the knowledge. And for all of their effort and worry, they didn't get the grade either, often. And this, it's the same with the spiritual life. For whoever would, Christ tells us, whoever would lose his life, or would save his life, forgive me, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. Do I believe that God is able to heal my brokenness and give me strength to persevere in my struggles? Then I should concern myself not with myself, because God has me covered. And if I am not concerned with myself because I trust in God, then I am free to help my neighbor in humility and long-suffering love. We're approaching the Feast of Transfiguration, soon after that, the Dormition. Let us be transfigured with God's divine love of the other. And to use St. Paul's words, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Amen.